Welcome to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and as promised, we have live music again this hour. My guest being Derek Handley, who's a cellist with the Madison Symphony, and like so many performers today and of yore, plays all over the place in all kinds of combinations, and we'll get into that a little bit too. Welcome to the Midday.
Thanks for having me, Norman. Appreciate it.
You have an interesting selection here, a sort of a contrast, which is often effective for concerts and recitals and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You have chosen Johann Sebastian Bach as one of the composers, and the other is George Crumb.
Absolutely.
Now, why that particular combination?
No particular reason. They are both unaccompanied, so
that helps.
I get to. I don't have to worry about an accompaniment, but and they both really do have a. They're very spiritual elements in the music, I think, and ad libitum opportunities as well. Moments to embellish, moments to move forward and come backwards, and tempo, and yeah. So
let's see. There were a total of 6 Bach cello suites. That they're mostly, if not all, stylized Baroque dance movements, mm-hmm. and were thought for a long time, by which I mean their first 150 years or so, to just be theoretical and not for performance. And then the last 100 years, I guess, it was Casals, right, who really brought them into the mm-hmm. daylight.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, I mean, the dances, like you said, I think that they were, the music when it was originally composed was meant to be danced to, after their preludes that offer, well, a prelude to the dances, and then they would be danced to, so that's why they're called dances, yeah.
And so you're going to play several movements of a total during the course of the hour of this mm-hmm. Fourth suite, and it all of them begin with a prelude?
Yes, well, just the one that I'm, the suite that I'm playing today, yeah, I'll be playing the prelude to that, and then we'll see. I don't know which dances I'll play and which I don't. But
well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, we're winging it here. All right, so, but we'll start with this prelude from the suite number 4 by Bach.
Thank you.
The Music of Bach, coming to you live from our Buck studio today during the midday. My guest is Derek Hendley, and he started with the prelude from the suite number 4 of the 6 suites for solo cello by Johann Sebastian Bach. So about Baroque bowing that we hear about from time to time, do you go Baroque? Do you go more contemporary with the bowing? How do you approach Bach, Derek?
More contemporary. I try to lay off of the vibrato as much as possible because I think that's how it's intended to sound, to amplify the gamba sound, which is not that you don't use vibrato when you play the gamba. So, and as far as bowings, like you'd mentioned, I mean, it's opposite when you play Baroque music, and the up bow is the down bow, and the down bow is the up bow. So, but I stick to contemporary for that. So my down bow is downbow.
Downbow is downbow.
Yeah.
It's easy to remember that way. What about the techniques required for these Bach cello suites? Is it particularly demanding? Is that why they were considered so long to be just technical exercises?
Yeah, I mean, they really get difficult as they go along. You know, the 6 is by far the hardest. And they are long, I mean, especially if you play them in one sitting, and that's just exhausting.
You're saying for you, or not the audience, but for the player.
Right, yeah, well, more for me, hopefully not for the audience. But, yeah, I like I said, I try to make it as contemporary sounding as possible, and to give it a little vibrato here and there, which I think it was, you should, I mean, these days, I haven't heard one cellist that really plays it without any vibrato, so, yeah.
And we don't have any directions from Bach in the score.
Exactly, yeah. And that's the beauty of Bach, too, is that it can be interpreted to the likings of the musician that's playing the music. Anna Magdalena, his wife, wrote bowings in her own parts that she had. And but I wasn't too fond of those. I looked over those once. And
really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I like to stick to just the empty manuscript and picking my own bowings. I mean, it can be interpreted so many different ways. So,
what kind of dance then would follow a prelude in these suites?
Immediately after the prelude comes the allemande in every suite.
So it's a German style dance.
Mm-hmm.
And what are its characteristics?
I'd say it's more of a moderate tempo to all the other dances, and it's supposed to be a very pleasant dance. That's really how I kind of see it in my mind. It's a pleasant dance, very relaxed, and delightful, I guess.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Well, as you say, pleasant, and the Allemande certainly is. Back now with cellist Derek Handley and guests here in the Bach studio, and more from Johann Sebastian Bach. And from the Bach, we're sampling his fourth cello suite, the fourth out of those six total suites for unaccompanied cello. They are, after the prelude, dance movements of one kind or another, a pretty good variety, too. Is there one dance or another, Derek, in this suite or any of the suites that is particularly challenging? I mean, is a courant harder than an Allemande, and an Allemande harder than a Saraband or a Gigue?
I would say by far the prelude is
really
the hardest out of the... I mean, it's not one of the dances. I don't know if that
sure
was your question.
But I mean, he starts all of them with the hardest movement.
Yeah, he does. It'd be nice to ease into it, I think. But yeah, if you ask any cellist, I mean, this prelude specifically is one of the more challenging. The whole suite as a whole is particularly challenging because of the reaches on the first to fourth finger. You really have to It's an E flat major, and that's just not a kind key for a cellist.
You have to idiomatic, really stretch, as we say.
A lot of stretches. Yeah, exactly. Right.
So, what would be the good keys for a cellist?
Oh, well, so I like to play the C major. no accidentals. You can't argue with that. But yeah, C and D major. You can't argue with those. But yeah.
But E flat, it's going to be for a while.
Yeah.
And so we're taking them a little bit out of order, which is fine because of the way that we're breaking up this suite anyway. But Sarah Band is a wonderful kind of intense Baroque dance. Handel wrote Sarah Bands, a couple of them that are famous, and Bach included those two in the suites.
Yeah, exactly. And this is a particularly unusual Sarah Band for him to write because usually the emphasis is supposed to be stressed on the second beat. And in this one, he kind of takes that freely. There's only a couple of spots that it's very obvious that it's going to the second beat, actually. So I thought it was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Thank you. Sarah Band from the Cello Suite No. 4 of Bach, and my guest live here in the Buck Studio today is Derek Handley. Now, as a performer with the Madison Symphony, and let's just take, for example, the repertory that's coming up this weekend, mm-hmm. what would be your role in the orchestra? We've got, it's the Variations on a Theme by Frank Bridge. Is correct. That the Britten yep. piece that you're mm-hmm. starting with?
Yeah, and... playing the cello section. this concert, as of most concerts, we do have a soloist, Ingrid, who was on the show yesterday.
Right.
I was a little nervous. That's a tough act to follow. And specifically in that Chopin concerto, in the second movement, anybody that's going to go to the concert will notice that the orchestra really just stays out of the way in that
was a pianist after
and he was a pianist yeah so it's a lot of long-held tremolos for most of the strings during that whole, movement, and so she really shines in that movement. Yeah.
And then what about the Schumann Fourth Symphony, right?
Yep, and the Schumann Symphony, which is very there's a lot of different elements. I haven't played that many Schumann symphonies, and
there are only four of them.
Yeah, exactly. And so there are elements of Beethoven, Brahms, there are elements of Mozart, they're all kind of in there. And the second movement in particular is just very beautiful. Great oboe solo, and the cellos get to play along with the oboe solo. So.
Oh, well, yeah. There's a great combination there when you get those winds against the lower strings.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, back, as they say, for something completely different. Well, still cello, still solo cello, mm-hmm. still played by Derek Handley. But there probably aren't too many similarities between the music of Bach and the contemporary George Crumb.
Not really. You know, just like I said, they're unaccompanied and have very ad libitum, free expression moments. And there's a fantasia that opens it up, theme and variations in between, and it ends with a toccata.
It's a sonata.
This is a sonata.
And Crumb is famous. This piece, though, I think is, compared, say, to The Voice of the Whale or some of his other pieces, is, I hesitate to use the word conventional, but much more conventional.
It is pretty conventional. Yeah. He did write this when he was a student still, actually, so that was why. I don't know.
Because he later got into a lot of sort of tinkering with tone qualities and timbre, special effects that, not electronic or anything, but just mm-hmm. what you could do with the unplugged, mm-hmm. sometimes unplugged instrument.
Right, yeah.
What were those movements again?
If I'm playing the whole thing, I don't know if I have time, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
The Fantasia is what opens it up. That's sort of the prelude, if you will. And then there's the theme and variations in between, and it ends with a toccata.
Sonata for cello by George Crumb. Adjusted your bridge between the second and third movement. Is that something that George Crumb specified in the performance of that sonata?
I was putting on the mute, mm-hmm. and actually when that theme comes back in the theme and variations, it's supposed to sound distant as if it were an old memory, so I think that's the purpose for that. Yeah, so that was just that muted sound.
Mm-hmm. And the second movement sounded a little jazzy. It reminded me that you've played with McCoy Tyner.
Unfortunately not, no. But there are really jazzy elements to this piece, though. I mean, in that last toccata, there's a lot of ferocious, violent sounds. And then in the middle of nowhere, out of nowhere comes these really jazzy kind of licks. Yeah,
yeah, a little bit of everything for you in that, I would say. And actually no pushover either in terms of the range required.
Right, yeah. It goes all over the spectrum, yeah.
I have to ask about the cello that you're playing, Derek. A, is that your only cello that you play? And B, what is its story?
It is my own cello, and I'm very fortunate to have it. It's made by William Wedby, an American maker out of Chicago. And these days, he doesn't really make as many as he used to. This was built in 1994 in Chicago.
Really? Just 20 years old, and it already looks like 100 or so.
Yeah, and it's a little trick. I don't know if it's a trick or what, but what they actually do is, and you see some of these scratches here, they some of the cello makers would throw their keys just onto the surface of the cello here. To make
really?
It look like it's old, I don't
like
know
like they
why.
Distress furniture.
Yeah, really, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old trick with furniture makers.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, but it also it's kind of faded around the seams too.
Oh yeah, that's my fault though.
Oh,
my bow just getting in the way. But and another unique thing is that it's a single back. They're usually there are two pieces that make up the back usually. So this is a single back cello, which I'm fortunate to have, and it creates a really nice bassy tone. So.
And that satisfies all the requirements for all the various kinds of music that you play?
It really does, yeah. Bows is a different story. Sometimes I'll switch bows, but the cello stays the same, yeah. It gives me as much sound as I would like. In the winter, it's a little rough with the dry weather, but it still holds up, yeah.
When you're not playing with the Madison Symphony, what are you doing with that cello?
I play with the Rockford Symphony as well throughout the year, and principal with the Oistrakh Symphony out of Chicago. It's a smaller chamber orchestra. And as of recent, I'm playing the season with Convivo, a Madison-based chamber group. We just had a concert at the Stoughton Opera House on February 9th.
It's a fun place for a concert.
Oh, it's a great venue. It's really beautiful and great acoustics as well. And as far as the rest of the season goes for Convivo, we have a concert in the end of May, and then we're going to be touring to Germany, actually.
Really?
And, yeah. We're
That's a first for Convivo, I think.
Yeah, it is, I think. And I got lucky to be able to play with them this season. And there's, yeah, the festival's name is Kultursommer Nordessen. And I apologize for anybody that speaks German, because I probably just butchered that. But it's in Kassel, Germany. And Dane County's sister county is in Kassel. So that's the link there, yeah.
If you were just pick up the cello, all these concerts and obligations notwithstanding, what are you most likely to play?
Just by myself, mm-hmm. then? Well, Bach. I'm looking at it right now.
Really?
I really.
That's number one.
My meat and potatoes. I really enjoy playing Bach. I feel like I can express myself the best through Bach than out of any other music. So, but after that, recently, that's most of the solo rep I've been playing, but if I need to pick a series of sonatas, the Beethoven sonatas are
sure, those
obviously wonderful, yeah.
Cello, piano sonatas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Always a question is, are they cello sonatas with a piano accompaniment, or the piano
right.
sonatas with a cellist that just happens to be there? The people
exactly.
have been debating at that for 200 years now.
Right, exactly.
Who gets the starring role?
Right.
In the other works of Bach, the non-unaccompanied works of Bach, then, so you know, the Brandenburgs, for example. I mean, are there great cello parts in there too?
Yeah, those are filled with great cello parts. I've played two or three out of the five or six. Is there five?
Six.
I think there's six. Yeah, but they have great and continual parts. And it's just this is a joy to play any Bach, really. Yeah,
for a long time, the cello was by which I mean up into the Baroque era. The cello was kind of relegated, wasn't it, to just kind of that continuo mode,
just
kind of like marking the time for the stars.
Yeah, exactly. The gamba and organo, and they would run the show for any like Messiah or any of those old pieces that last forever.
I think he's just tipped an opinion there.
Right. Yeah. I've never played the Messiah all the way through, but it can be really tiring. Yeah.
Well, you know, the king stood up for a reason. It wasn't just because he thought the Hallelujah Chorus was fantastic. It could have been he just needed to stretch, too. You know what I mean? Nobody knows for sure why George II stood up for that particular part of the Messiah. Well, speaking of Handel Contemporary, mainly Bach, of whom we've been speaking quite a bit during this hour, we'll come back to that cello suite number 4 that we started with, and you said the preludes are the hardest part, but the gigues are usually the fastest part, right?
Yeah, correct. And gigue, I think, literally means dance, maybe, if it's translated.
Yeah, it's a jig, certainly.
It's a jig, so yeah. And yeah, this one particular is pretty difficult. I mean, all the jigs are fast, so yeah, that makes it difficult in its own. This one is particularly interesting because there's no chordal structure. It's just all melody driven. I don't think any of the other jigs are like that in any of the other suites.
That's the final movement of that suite. Do they all end with a jig or just an up tempo?
Yes. They all end with a jig. Yeah.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a good way to do it. Now you have students, a variety of students, some pretty young ones, probably.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple of students. I mean, I teach at the WYSO Youth
YSO.
Symphony in
WYSO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I teach some chamber music there, and. I'm currently building a studio, trying to build a studio. I moved here not even a year ago, I think, now. So still trying to build a studio, though, yeah.
So what kind of composers, what kind of pieces do you start those young cello students with?
I tend to just go through the Suzuki books, which start with, Twinkle, Twinkle. The basic stuff.
Get the rhythm down, try to hit the notes right. And
I was thinking about playing that on the show today, but I...
Well, there have been a couple of great sets of variations on Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Doch Nanya, and then, of course, Mozart. But
you'd have
to have a piano for the Mozart, and you'd have to have an orchestra for the Doch Nanya. So it's kind of a problem today, but maybe next time come back. Although, that'd be interesting. I bet you could do some very creative stuff just with a solo cello.
I'll try to figure something out, sure.
Okay. Well, let me know how that comes out for you, and we'll see if we can't produce that sometime. The really juicy cello concertos, which would be the first one, or which was the first one that you played that you really felt, I have arrived as a cellist?
The first concerto I played was the Saint-Saëns concerto, which is a good one to start on. It's not too technically difficult. Leaves a lot of room. I played it just recently. I played it for auditions before. I actually played it for the Madison audition, actually. There's just a lot of chances to show off, even though it's not technically as hard as the Dvorak or the
the Elgar or even the Victor Herbert is another big one.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have any cello concerto performances coming up?
I do not. No, I should though. I haven't touched my concertos in a little while. I should probably dust them off and get back at them. But
what would be the next one you'd pick?
Next new one to pick, although it's dangerous to give it a shot, is the Schumann. I think I would definitely. I've learned parts of it, but I've never learned it all the way through. So I think that would be next on my list.
It's interesting how many major composers wrote just one cello concerto.
Yeah,
but I mean big, you know, famous cello concertos. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for coming in and sharing your artistry with us today. We'll look forward to hearing more of you. Individually or in an orchestral context.
Thanks, Norman. Grateful for the opportunity.
My guest has been Derek Handley, and we will get to hear him next this weekend during the performances by the Madison Symphony.